Hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Marquise Munson taking you through this Tuesday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. Some breaking news. Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network has finally announced no new positive tests for the Titans in Monday's round of COVID-19 testing. The game is on tonight between the Titans and Bills. So the game tonight at Nissan Stadium, it's on, it's happening. Titans and Bills going down. So we'll continue to react to that throughout the show. But right now we're going to switch gears and talk about some Vanderbilt football, who have not had some good news over the course of the past 48 hours. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our good friend Adam Sparks from the Tennessee. And Adam, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Not much. How y'all doing?
We are doing very well. And Adam, obviously not good news yesterday for Vanderbilt. They had to postpone their game against Missouri. It's moved off to December the 12th. Due to COVID-19, whether that's outbreaks or whether that's, you know, contact tracing, injuries, whatever the case may be, they fell below the scholarship requirement thrown out there by the SEC. Have you been able to kind of get a sense of just how big this scope is for Vanderbilt and what they're dealing with right now?
I mean, not a number. Obviously, the 53 was that's the threshold. If you drop below it, that's where you're going to be. The SEC is going to recommend, essentially tell you you shouldn't play. I kind of get the sense after the game the other day, in the post-game press conference, they played the South Carolina game with 56 players. So three more than they to be over the threshold. But that was after five guys who had been out had returned from injury that game. So until those guys were cleared for injury, it was at 51. Last week's game was going to be canceled. And then you kind of saw it on Derek Mason's face that he was resigned to the fact that that this may happen. He knew more tests were coming on Sunday, and if there were any COVID positives there, you'd add those to the list, drop that number from 56 down to a lower number, and then whatever contact tracing came out of that, it would drop it even lower. So I think he knew if there were any positives that were not there before. In the next round of tests, they were probably done for this week. And he was, he was hinting at it that he thought that would happen. And, it only takes one positive and it can take out, four or five different guys because of contact tracing. Derek Mason sort of hinted at Donovan Kaufman, the safety, who had tweeted that he was, a few days ago, I believe, that, and then deleted the tweet, that he was positive for COVID. And that's a safety. And then if you look back at the guys that were taken out of the South Carolina game, three safeties, two corners. So obviously there was contact tracing in there. I don't think they were all positives, but they were contact tracing because they're all playing virtually the same position. If you get one of those added to that at any position, then you're taking out a few guys that surround them potentially. So I think that's what happened. And so that 56 number dropped to lower 50s, upper 40s, and that's where we are now.
So how do you think this goes from here in terms of, we were talking earlier about there is now, of course, an off week after this, then Ole Miss on Halloween, potentially close to the 70 or so scholarship players they have this year could be back, and I guess in a way they could be in like better position to be competitive moving forward. Am I being too sunshiny?
No, I think that's a reasonable assumption. I mean, that's kind of one of the, weird jokes a little bit in the preseason, right? If some team did have a little bit of an outbreak and everybody was healthy and safe through it, that it would actually increase your chances of not missing a game because you would have that many guys that potentially would not get it for the next 90 days. That's what the CDC says. There's a pretty decent chance. But again, if like three guys were tested positive and that affected 15 guys, so to speak, because of contact tracing, if those guys test negative, but they're out for contact tracing, they could still get COVID. So it depends on how many positives they had. I think it increases the chances because, you have 2 weeks now to get healthy and to get past any isolations, any quarantines. But I don't think they're necessarily out of the woods. They did have some injuries like everybody does. But they were down six guys to begin with because it's six opt-outs. So, I don't think the rest of the season we can just say, well, Vandy for sure is going to be able to play the rest of their games. I'll approach every game, you know, counting bodies and asking how many scholarship guys are available because I think it could be something any given week.
Adam Sparks from the Tennessean on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Adam, obviously the South Carolina game a little bit different in terms of evaluation from the standpoint of only having 56 scholarship players available in that game. But what have you made out of Vanderbilt so far on the field through their first three games?
There's a little potential there. I get some Vandy fans I can feel their eyes rolling whenever I tweet something like that. But, their quarterback, Ken Seals, has at different times during games. The other day, he was I think he was 14 of 18 passing, and they had like a hundred and something total yards of offense. And I don't think they had scored a point at that point. And you're thinking, how can an offense have some good numbers and spots but just not score? They're limited somewhat in the personnel that they have. That's nothing new at Vandy. They have not been good in the red zone. They've missed field goals. They haven't converted a number of opportunities that they have. This team is not good right now, obviously. They're 0-3. I don't think they're as bad as they were last year. Last year, every game you looked at it and say, how much worse could this game be? Because I don't really see a way of them getting any better. This team is a little different. I do see some potential on offense. Keon Henry Brooks, the running back, came back this last week. I think he's their best running back. If they have all their guys healthy on defense, they can be reasonably competitive. Again, they had five, six guys out of that defense the other day. So I think there's a little bit of a light at the end of the tunnel. But the problem now is I don't know which games are more winnable. Coming into the season, you looked at it and you said, okay, Missouri, Mississippi State, Ole Miss. But Ole Miss nearly beat Alabama the other day. Mississippi State beat LSU but then lost to Arkansas, so I don't know what they are. Missouri beat LSU. You know, it's hard to say which games are the kind of the bottom feeders that maybe Vandy could pick somebody off. And then, you know, delaying this Missouri game, I don't know if that helps or hurts things, but it's a tough stretch down to the end of the season. So Vandy could be better than last year and be 0-10. They could be better than last year and be 0-9 because I'm not even sure they'll play that Missouri game, to be honest with you.
No, you never know. That could factor into the playoff picture. I mean, we don't know for sure anything yet, Adam. Let's let's keep an open mind. Yeah, look, I think a lot of this year is, you know, Ken Seals getting better. I agree. I think Keon Brooks looked good. I mean, there's some things to like about this team, but I agree easily. They could be 0-10 and better, which is, I guess, kind of sobering. But I want to throw a little question at you on my passion. College basketball, Adam. Jerry Stackhouse's team, Stephanie White's team, your synopsis right now on how they look.
Well, it depends on kind of what the schedule looks like. I do think Stackhouse's team, for what he has, there's some potentially young, good players there. I think they need a number of non-conference games to get that working. I don't think you could take that team and just throw them, you know, into a heavy conference schedule, sort of what football is dealing with, and expect them to, you know, to get good quickly. I think it's going to take some time. Women's team has a lot of talent coming back, and they've had a lot of talent, or a reasonable amount of talent, for the last, you know, couple of years. I don't know that you fire a coach during a pandemic, but I think Stephanie White's contract is probably about to expire unless she gets some extension we don't know about. So she needs to win. Whatever the college football season looks like, they need to be somewhere in the discussion of the postseason. Jerry Stackhouse has recruited four stars. I've seen some criticism of him that he's not a really good recruiter, that he should be getting five stars or whatever. Vanderbilt is a four-star school in basketball. They're not Kentucky, but, you know, they're not the bottom of the SEC either historically. If you can bring in four stars at Vanderbilt and you know how to coach and you know how to develop, which I think he for sure can do those two things, you can be a team that can get in the NCAA tournament. I don't know that that's this year, but I do like what I saw at the end of last year. So I like his chances with young players. He just has a whole lot of them now after losing Aaron Nesmith and Saban Lee last year.
Adam Sparks from the Tennessean has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Hey, Adam, great stuff, man. Appreciate you taking time to join us.
All right, guys. Y'all have a good one.
You too. Some breaking news on the Titans front, Joe. The game is on tonight between the Titans and Bills. No positive test this morning for the Titans. This coming now from multiple sources. Tom Pelissero was the first to drop that news, and now the Titans have even tweeted out officially, Tuesday night football in Nashville, hashtag Buff versus Tennessee. So the game on tonight between the Titans and Bills. Also, Paul Kuharski has reported that both A.J. Brown and Taylor Lewan will be in the lineup tonight for the Titans. So good news on that front for the Titans as well. Been a good morning. We finally got some football to talk about, Joe, between the Bills and the Titans. It's been a long time coming.
Absolutely. Took a little longer to get it out there, but it's out there, and so here we go. Football. I mean, how long has it been? We're talking 16 days?
Yeah.
16 days since the Titans played football, and most of those 16 days have been pretty miserable, really. I think for the Titans, people around the Titans, really people around the league too, watching this unfold and the impact, you know, on the league. So great news, and now we can just talk about football the rest of the show.
And that's what we're going to do. Let's get your reaction, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Now that we know the game is on, what are your expectations for the Titans tonight against the Bills? Do they have a chance to win this game? Let us know. We'll talk about it next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Titans fans, Corner Pub is the place to check out the game with locations in Bellevue, Brentwood, or downtown, and great beer specials including $1 off of Yazoo and Happ & Harry's draft beers, plus Happ & Harry's bucket specials. Don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame show live from the Corner Pub downtown location today. Join ESPN 102.5 The Game from 4 to 6 p.m. prior to the Titans taking on the Buffalo Bills. The NFL pregame show features Jared Stillman, Floyd Reese, and former Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders, and is brought to you by Wholesale Inc., powered by Rumble On and Kubota Tractors, Middle Tennessee Kubota dealers. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, and it's official. The game is on tonight between the Tennessee Titans and the Buffalo Bills. No positive test for the Titans again this morning. Good news on that front. And also Paul Kuharski reporting that both A.J. Brown and Taylor Lewan will be playing tonight for the Titans. So a lot of good news on the Titans front to begin this segment and begin this hour, Joe Rex Road. Good stuff. That's the first good news, like a lot of good news we've had on the Titans in what feels like forever.
Yeah, no, that's a great job reporting that by Kuharski, and great news for the Titans because, yeah, Lewan, I mean, I guess you kind of figured as much. A.J. Brown, a little bit less certain with him. You know, with a knee, I guess, bruise. But that's, I mean, you know, it's going to be a heavy A.J. Brown game if he's playing. And you said it earlier, you know, the running game we know is going to be featured. It's going to be, I mean, there's not, I don't think there's going to be a week where, like, I mean, maybe the Titans are going to just
take a week off from running the ball.
You know, 10, 12 carries for Derrick Henry and wing it around 45 times. No.
Like what you talked about with Jim Chaney, like abandoning the run, it's probably not going to happen with the Titans.
You wouldn't think so. But having Lewan in there, now you feel even better about that. Like you said, Lewan and Saffold on that side, pretty lethal combination. So we're going to have Matt Fairburn, my colleague at The Athletic who covers the Bills, and maybe we'll get some insight on their situation. I mean, if you have Lewan and Brown in, we know Adoree Jackson is out, but Tre'Davious White, John Brown, two huge storylines for them on the injury front. And again, as we've talked about, Matt Milano already makes this running attack, you know, a little bit more feasible tonight. So it's still a really good Buffalo team and a Titans team. I just don't know what to overall expect. But I do think that even with all that time away, you know, that basic outside zone left, outside zone right, you know, a lot of the stuff that you do, your bread and butter, you should be able to come out and do it with fresh legs and certainly a lot of excitement to not only play football after all this stuff, but to play football in front of some of your fans for the first time.
Yeah, 8,500 around there fans, I think, expected for the game tonight between the Titans and the Bills. And Joe, I do wonder, like, from just a simple morale standpoint, if they're able to somehow find a way and win this game, given everything they've gone through over the past couple of weeks, I wonder how much of a morale booster that is. Look, it's a morale booster anytime you win a game in the NFL. I think you could probably multiply that by about 100 if they win this game. They're going to be feeling really good about themselves, given everything they've gone through the past couple of weeks.
Right. Now, people around the league, we hear you say that. Well, people around the league, we hear you say that and say, everything they've gone through or everything that they created? It doesn't,
well,
mean, it doesn't mean that people around the league are right, but I'm just saying, you know, it's interesting, you know, how people look at the Titans and then how, you know, we look at the story here. And I wonder, too, like, how many people around the league tonight are rooting for the Bills?
Like, how many people are significant number
rooting for the Bills to just beat the Titans by 30, you know, and make that part of their punishment that people so badly want them to suffer?
Let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nate texts in, unfortunately, I expect multiple injuries, but I hope the Titans are only one or two of them. I expect the game to be close and don't know who will win because both teams have been affected with the situation. I think the main key is if Josh Allen, he's been so good the first few weeks, can he keep it up with this unusual circumstance? Like, can Josh Allen continue the momentum that he's had so far this year? That's going to be key, because if he turns into old Josh Allen, that's going to help the Titans a whole lot in this game.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could look at it like, is there some rust because they were on a schedule of, you know, expecting to play Sunday and it's a couple days later? You know, I don't know. I mean, I think from their perspective, if they get a guy or two back because of that, then it's well worth it. But then, of course, also from their perspective, you know, their short week with the Chiefs. Now, they were going to be short week anyway. That game was going to be Thursday. That was the Thursday game. Now it's Sunday. So help me do the math on that. Basically, they have one extra day,
right,
actually, for the Chiefs. So, yeah, it could work out okay for them. The Titans are going to have to flip it right around and prepare for the Texans, which I hope no one is just discounting the Texans at this point and Deshaun Watson. But if the Titans have those guys and even one of those two really key guys is not there for the Bills, that's a big deal.
It is, and it's so big to have Lawan and A.J. Brown in there tonight. We were talking about yesterday just what the receiving core could look like, even with A.J. Brown in. Like, with A.J. Brown in, we know Corey Davis is not going to play tonight. We can, I think, just assume at this point Adam Humphries is not going to play. We'll see if the Titans get any other players today off of the COVID list. That would certainly help. But you look at their receiving core right now, A.J. Brown in the fold. I mean, Khalif Raymond at this point, probably the number two. How do you utilize him? And you talked about in training camp, Joe, Khalif Raymond's a guy that's got a lot better running routes and kind of executing on plays that weren't just 55-yard go routes where you just chuck it up and hope he outruns the defense and comes down underneath the ball. Well, he's going to have to do that tonight. And look, I think the Titans, to keep the Bills honest and keep them out of the box a little bit, you're going to have to take some shots down the field if you're Ryan Tannehill and that offense, and Khalif Raymond probably will be a big part of that. But it's also going to require him tonight, if he's the number two guy, you're going to have to find a way to catch some passes, you know, right at the sticks. You're going to have to find a way to go across the field, maybe into some traffic, and catch some balls as well. We haven't seen Khalif Raymond really do that yet at the NFL level in a game situation. Can he do that tonight? Because there's going to be a lot asked of him, I think.
Yeah, I think Khalif Raymond is definitely going to be key. We know Corey Davis won't play. And look, Khalif Raymond coming off a really nice game at Minneapolis. And like you said, he really has worked to expand his game. So is he a guy who can go out there and do the job, move around, you know, get 7-8 targets, you know, catch the ball in different spots, hold on to the ball like he didn't do at Denver? That could be a key thing too. You know, I think Anthony Firkser will be utilized. Like I said, Darrington Evans, I think, hey, you could see like Darrington Evans in the slot maybe a little bit, something like that. I mean, we've talked about, you know, defensive backs being brought over maybe for some offense. What about just taking a guy who can catch the ball and splitting him out and using him in that way? I think there'll be some personnel creativity. I want to address our buddy Bob Williams on Twitter who says, I mean, Joe, you can't really spin it. They did create the problem. Well, certainly the problem originated here. I don't think there's any question about that. I also, certainly with John Robinson talking yesterday, there was an admission of some level of not being 100% on, you know, in terms of compliance, in terms of the mask, things like that. Also that the communication was there from the league. But what I'm talking about is, you know, I think people around the league, some are like, they were completely grossly negligent and just didn't care and were defiant when not worked out when they were told not to. And, you know, we've seen they should be bounced from the league, suspended. They should have their season ended. So I think it's an extreme. You're right, Bob. They did create the problem. We also don't know, though, like how it started. It could have been completely innocent. How it spread also could have been, right? We don't know. Like, this happened, A led to B led to C. We do know that when you have some level of sloppiness at the very least, I think that's the low end of it, to be kind, and then you have an outbreak, and you're going to get blamed for it.
Let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Caleb from Memphis texted in again about the wide receivers. This is exactly what I was texting about before with the lack of wide receiver depth. Can you go into more detail on why we haven't signed anyone better? Raymond, Hollister, et cetera, isn't enough, in my opinion. I mean, their depth at receiver certainly going to be tested tonight. And look, you know, we talked about those three guys, Brown, Davis, Humphreys. You feel good about those three. Outside of that, you know, Raymond's your four right now. I know that he's had his moments, but do you really feel good about Khalif Raymond being your four? How worried are you heading into this game tonight about their receiver depth? And do you think as they move along here, as the season continues to go on, and who knows, hopefully this is the last time they have to deal with something like this, but it may not be, do you think about adding some depth to the receiver position if you're John Robinson?
Yeah, well, we talked about that going back to camp. How are you good with Raymond being your four? Should Raymond really be your five? I mean, Cam Batson is another guy who went on the COVID list same time as Adam Humphries. And Cam Batson, when he's had a chance this year, he's done the job. He's made some plays. So I think if they're all whole, I think they're probably going to stay there, and I think they're fine. The way Corey Davis has played this year, we know what A.J. Brown is, and you know, if he's healthy now, you're probably going to see that more. Humphries is really good. And then I think with Raymond, with Batson, you could make a case for another like bigger receiver. We've been talking about that. Who is it? Who's out there? And who? What's the answer? Another guy we haven't talked about yet today, but Chester Rogers, a guy they picked up, guy who has done some good things in the NFL on the practice squad. I wouldn't be surprised at all. I would expect him to be one of the 48 tonight.
Real quickly, let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, earlier this season, Nashville SC couldn't play due to COVID-19. Then came the Titans. And next is Vandy. Is there talk nationally that Nashville teams just aren't getting it at this point? And it's funny that they bring that up. We were actually going to talk about that in this segment. Does Vanderbilt also having an outbreak, having their game postponed? You factor that in with Nashville SC, like he talked about. Also, the Titans been the story of the sporting world over the past couple of weeks. Hadn't been a great look for Nashville in terms of their professional and college teams and the way they've handled this so far. I wonder nationally if that point starts to be talked about a little bit more in terms of Nashville teams just not getting it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much it is being talked about, but I'm sure someone will put two and two together on that. And, yeah, I mean, it's a point worth bringing up. That texter have a look at our grid?
They have.
That's almost eerie. No, it's a great point. I mean, I think it's they're not necessarily connected. And, actually, we are doing better here than – well, gee, like where your favorite football team plays right now.
Not going well in Green Bay right now.
Yeah, but still, it's interesting to say the least. Now, real quick on I asked this of Robbie Bourne, Titans spokesman, on are we going to find out about guys tonight, like pregame inactives, which is a normal thing on a game day? It will be 3 o'clock today. So 3 o'clock today, we will find out the COVID, anyone else coming off the COVID list, and anyone elevated from the practice squad. So it'll be 3 hours before kickoff. We'll know if a Fulton, a Humphreys, or whoever, yep. Yeah, I'm just speculating, might also be activated for this game.
So 3 o'clock today, have a good idea of what's going on with the Titans and who's going to be available to play in the game tonight. When we come back, Matt Fairburn covers the Bills for The Athletic. He'll join us. We'll break down the Bills, what's going on with them right now from an injury standpoint. How do they match up against the Titans? All of that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Marquise Munson taking you through this Tuesday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. A game day morning finally here in Nashville, Tennessee. Titans and Bills on tonight. And to help us talk a little bit more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line. driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Matt Fairburn from The Athletic, who covers the Buffalo Bills. Matt, what's going on, man? How we doing?
Oh, I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Doing well, and Matt, the game is on. We didn't know if we would ever get here, but now that we're finally here and we know there's going to be football play tonight between the Titans and Bills, what do you make of this matchup? Two undefeated teams in the AFC.
Yeah, it should be a good game. It's weird to think about the game, like you said. I mean, right. It feels like forever since the Bills played, and I'm sure it's an even stronger feeling for you guys, considering how long it's been since the Titans played. It's weird. The Bills had all this, momentum going and a lot of good vibes in town with the 4-0 start, and it feels like last week kind of took the air out of the balloon a little bit. But I think this matchup is a really good one that fans should be excited is, on CBS and kind of getting the national treatment here, because the Bills, this is a much different matchup than it was when these two teams met this time a year ago. Obviously, the Titans changed quarterbacks and went on a great run at the end of the season, and the Bills' offense has been completely different this year. They're throwing the ball downfield. Josh Allen looks like a different quarterback, so I think this will be a fun game and one that could be a preview of a playoff matchup down the line.
Yeah, and speaking of that passing attack, Matt, obviously Stephon Diggs makes a huge difference. But I've thought for a while that John Brown's one of the most underrated guys in the NFL. People don't talk about him. He's a very good player. Also banged up. Along with Tre'Davious White, do you expect those guys to play? And how important would you say both of those guys are on both sides of the ball there?
Yeah, I would say Tre'Davious White is the more important of the two. It's weird. We haven't had the usual access that we get to practice this week, so... And with the week being longer than usual, it's hard to get the same gauge on injuries. I would expect them to take Tre'Davious White right up until game time. And the last we saw of practice, John Brown was kind of limping off. It looked like he re-aggravated that calf injury, but he's been playing through that, and he's had some time here to get right. So I think both of those guys are definitely – up in the air, right up until game time. But I think if the Bills are without Tre'Davious White, that is a major factor in this game, because they'll already be without Levi Wallace, who started the first four games for this team. He sprained his ankle and will be out for a few weeks. They've got Josh Norman back filling in for Levi Wallace, but without Tre'Davious White, then you're talking about going to, maybe an undrafted undrafted second-year guy, Cam Lewis, on the outside. Maybe Saran Neal, who's sort of a safety cornerback hybrid. They've got some depth problems at corner. So I think Tre'Davious White will be able to play, but if at any point he re-aggravates that injury, that's an area the Titans can attack for sure.
Matthew Fairburn on the line with us from The Athletic, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So I'll be honest with you, man, like, Josh Allen, to me, heading into this season, I was hearing all the hype about the Bills and the Patriots not going to be the same. And I was thinking, yeah, I like the Bills. I like a lot about their roster. I'm just not sold on Josh Allen. But, man, he's been off to a pretty incredible start so far this year. What do you think has been the difference with Josh Allen so far this year?
Man, it's hard to pinpoint, because I'm with you there. Before the season, I expected him to improve, but I don't know that anybody outside of the building expected him to take this type of step forward. And I think Stephon Diggs has made a huge impact for sure. Having a guy that can separate at all levels of the field and make contested catches down the field, has helped Josh Allen's confidence, but it's so much more than that. He's been a lot more patient in letting plays develop in the pocket. He's pushing the ball downfield. He's throwing with timing and a reasonable amount of anticipation. He's more accurate than he's been. I can't really put my finger on, one particular thing that has changed. It's really been a huge leap in his confidence and his comfort level in this offense. Brian Daboll is doing a tremendous job scheming guys open and calling the right plays, and they just have a really good relationship with one another. There's tons of weapons around him. It's really been just a perfect storm for him, and the the development has been steady the first 2 years, but to see this type of leap, it's what so many teams wait for and never get out of a quarterback. So to see it happen a little bit later than we're used to, right? We've seen Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes have these huge second seasons, and Jared Goff and Carson Wentz were kind of the same way. To see it a little bit more delayed with Josh Allen, especially with how much football he played his first two seasons in the league, it's kind of a cool thing. It's something that, you know, is a bit of a throwback, and, you know, he was certainly a project coming out of college, but they've got everything clicking right now, and I would expect at some point they'll come down to earth a little bit, but that's only because you can't keep up the pace they've had through the first four games, you know, for an entire season. It's hard to do, but it's clear that this team is winning games because of its quarterback, which is the first time you can say that in a long, long time.
Yeah, no, I'll admit the same thing. I absolutely didn't see this coming, and I haven't been all that. I've just wondered if he would ever be consistently accurate enough on those kind of throws you have to consistently make. But clearly, like you said, Matt, he's taking a big step. This offense looks great. You know, the running game hasn't had to do a lot, really. I mean, Devin Singletary, Zach Moss, I mean, everything's, you know, they're loading up the points. But what do you think of those guys? How have they played so far?
Yeah, it's interesting. You're right. The running game hasn't had to do a whole lot for this team, and Josh Allen has been probably the most you know, reliable runner at times for them over the last few years. But I do think Devin Singletary is playing pretty well. He's making plays when he needs to. He's become a real threat out of the backfield in the passing game. They've been without Zach Moss for a bit. I think he'll be back tonight. Gives them that nice 1-2 punch, but he got off to a sluggish start before he had that toe injury. It's really Devin Singletary that is the one to look out for. He's not necessarily a game breaker from a you know, straight line speed standpoint, but he will make guys miss, and he's really hard to bring down, and so he will generate big plays that way by just being a slippery guy that can generate extra yards. And I think the running game is kind of a matter of time. And they've just been so pass heavy on key downs that it's taken a little bit away from the production in the running game. But I think they have the pieces to make that work. They've also been shuffling around, you know, on the offensive line, trying to find the best combination of five guys. So still figuring it out. And, you know, if you had told me that the running game along with the Bills defense would be off to a sluggish start to the season and they'd still be 4-0, I'd be pretty impressed, but that's the type of passing attack that they've created, one that can carry their team, and it's something that fans around here have been waiting for a while.
Matt Fairburn from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And, Matt, we all here in Nashville are familiar with Buffalo's playoff drought, and every time these two teams match up, there's still arguments back and forth between Bills fans and Titans fans about whether or not the Music City Miracle was a lateral. Given everything that this Buffalo franchise has been through over the last 20, 25 years, how excited is the fan base right now in Buffalo with the team off to a 4-0 start?
Oh, they're fired up. You know, it's a shame that it's, you know, the best season. You know, if they win tonight, they'll be 5-0 for the first time since 1991, which is, you know, back when they were going to Super Bowls. And, you know, the fact that people aren't able to go to games just yet here and, you know, not really able to enjoy it the way they typically would is, you know, a little bit of a letdown, but people are ecstatic about the direction this team is heading. The fact that they feel like they have a quarterback for the first time in so, so long, they feel like they've got the right people in key places, and they think this could be a pretty, pretty special year. And I think that's where a lot of the frustration came in over the last week. They've got two games coming up against the Titans and the Chiefs, and, you know, kind of had a wrench thrown into their plans here, you know, with everything going on in Tennessee. So there was definitely a little bit of frustration from Bills fans and some angst that, you know, this great season could be derailed by the virus or something else, you know, from a scheduling standpoint. But they think they've got the team. I think that's where the angst comes from. They think they've got a special team that could you know, do some damage, provided that this season, finishes in some fashion. And I think, you know, these next 2 weeks will teach us a lot about this team going up against the two finalists in the AFC from a year ago.
And the good news is you can jump into a folding table and it's still a socially distanced activity that, you know, the Bills Mafia can. We saw some really interesting scenes last year with some of those fans here. Matt, one more question on the defense. Matt Milano, how big of a loss is that, and how has the rush defense been so far this year for the Bills?
Matt Milano is a massive, massive loss for the Bills. I would argue that he might be the most important player on that Bills defense. You know, you could make an argument for Tre'Davious White or Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer, but Matt Milano and what he does, you know, for their coverage and in the running game, he is a really talented player, and they are much worse at defending tight ends when Matt Milano is not in the game. And they've had to, you know, deal with that more often than they'd like over the years with his, you know, hamstring injuries, and now he's got a pec injury. So he's a big loss. Their run defense has been hit or miss, really. They've had some bad moments. They did well against the Raiders and Josh Jacobs last week, but they got gashed pretty good by the Rams. So they've been inconsistent in that area, and that's certainly something to watch tonight. They haven't seen a running back quite like Derrick Henry, and you know that's a guy that could wear them down. And I think Jonnu Smith, the tight end there, you know, he's a guy to watch tonight, because without Matt Milano, they really have trouble defending tight ends. The play-action game can really get working, and I know the Titans love using play-action passes, so it's going to be a tough matchup for the Bills' defense, especially down Milano, and we'll see what the deal is with Tre'Davious White a little closer to game time, but some key pieces banged up for the Bills, so you know, it's certainly going to be a tough challenge for them containing this offense, assuming the Titans come out, you know, firing on all cylinders after so much time away.
So what you're telling me is we're not going to see another 14-7 or 13-12 game, right?
More
reason to celebrate.
I don't think so. I mean, it seems like those days are gone for the Bills. It seems like those days are gone across the NFL these days.
That's right.
I mean, just watching the games on Sunday, it's like, you know, scores in the 30s all over the place. You know, I think, you know, the Titans seem like they're playing some high-scoring games now, and the Bills have certainly been involved in some shootouts. So hopefully there's some points for people in this primetime game.
Matt Fairburn covers the Bills for The Athletic, has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Hey, Matt, thanks so much for taking time to join us, man. We appreciate it. And then finally, this game taking place tonight. Enjoy it, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Enjoy the game, guys.
Absolutely. Going to be interesting to watch that matchup that the Bills have on defense now with Matt Milano not being in the game. And we'll see, with some time off from practice, can the Titans take advantage of that? That's going to be interesting to monitor. When we come back, which side of the ball are you most fearful of when it comes to the Buffalo Bills heading into this game tonight? We'll talk about that next. But first, make sure you're tuning in. ESPN The Game Nashville has your coverage for the MLB playoffs, presented by Gary Force Acura. 102.5 The Game has Game 3 of the ALCS series of the Tampa Bay Rays versus the Houston Astros. And ESPN 94.9 will be carrying Game 2 of the NLCS series between the Braves and the LA Dodgers. Make sure you're tuning in for that. We'll be right back on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Make sure you're tuning in tomorrow as Nashville SC takes on Houston Dynamo at 7 o'clock. Catch all the action on ESPN 94.9, starting with pregame coverage at 6:45. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're going to have Charles Robinson on from Yahoo Sports, as we do each and every Tuesday at 9 o'clock. One of the best reporters in the NFL, so looking forward to that. But Joe, Titans Bills on for tonight. We're going to see some football, and the question now becomes, from a game planning standpoint, which side of the ball are you more worried about if you're the Titans going into this matchup against the Bills? And I think it's an interesting question, because if we were to have asked this question to begin the season, I think the answer without a doubt would have been defense. I mean, certainly you look at Buffalo's defense last year, one of the best in the league. They were tenacious, and they've still got a lot of those same players, a lot of talent on defense that could cause the Titans some problems in this game. But right now, Joe, like, I think my answer is the offense for the Bills. Josh Allen and that crew, They've been rolling through the first 4 weeks of the season, and when you combine that with the fact that the Titans could be missing some key guys defensively, this Buffalo offense makes me pretty nervous if I'm a Titans fan heading into this game tonight.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I agree. It's a flip around, and I think we're going to see a very different game than we've seen the last two times. That was a very strong statement from Matt Fairburn last segment about Matt Milano. You know, like I would probably sort of just assume that like Tre'Davious White would be your most important guy in defense. You know, he's one of the best corners in the NFL, but Matt Milano, not just with the rush defense, which hasn't been, you know, they're middle of the pack rush defense, but remember this too about the Bills. Well, they're actually they're top 10 right now. They're pretty good rush defense numbers. But remember, this is also a team that has been lighting things up to the extent that a lot of what teams they've played so far have really had to throw the ball to get back into the game. And of course they did have their own amazing comeback to beat the Rams. But you take him out, not just the rush defense, but as Fairburn pointed out, Jonnu Smith, tight end coverage, it's a problem for them without him in there. So I think you're a lot more fearful of the Bills' offense, and you probably feel like you can have a lot of success. Again, especially Lawan Brown, you're still going to be shorthanded at receiver at 3 o'clock today. We may find out more news on that. Like, what if they get Humphreys back?
That'd be big.
I think you really feel good. I mean, Corey Davis is still a big loss. And Mykole Pruitt is a big loss. He really is. In the run game, he's a big part of that. Kari Blassing game, I mean, some of those pieces of the run game that don't get a lot of recognition are losses, but still, you got to feel good about your chances of moving the ball and getting points against that Bills defense.
Let's go back to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, do you see Darrington Evans getting more involved tonight as a receiver? So I do wonder, like, in the slot, if Humphreys can't go, what do you do about that? Do you move Raymond to the slot? You know, you said yesterday he's been studying Adam Humphreys and trying to figure out, you know, exactly how to run those routes, the cuts to make, how you go about creating separation in the slot. Could you see Darrington Evans maybe in the slot a little bit? Not so much in the backfield, you know, as we, you know, Derrick Henry's going to get the lion's share of snaps and carries in the backfield. But could you see Darrington Evans and Derrick Henry on the field at the same time together?
Well, the texter, you've not been listening to the show the last couple of days. I've been saying this. No, not that many times. A few times, yeah. I know. I think it's a great point in all seriousness that, yeah, I think Darrington Evans in the slot, Darrington Evans moving around, Darrington Evans, I keep trying to say his name really fast and it gets difficult, a guy who can be utilized. And I think this makes sense as sort of a breakout game opportunity for him. So if you go to a three-receiver set and you don't have Humphreys, maybe he could get some of those reps. But if you're just using receivers, yes, I think Khalif Raymond is your slot guy. And so who's the third guy? You know, I would guess Cody Hollister just because, I mean, just watching camp, he was a little bit more steady and reliable. And again, I'm going to go back to your favorite thing, me talking about Corey Davis blocking as a receiver.
Yes, please.
But, hey, you're going to try to run the ball in this game. You need that too. Now, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine obviously is a guy that they like a lot, a guy who got opportunities in Minnesota, which I was a little bit puzzled by in those situations. But he's a guy who has speed, has ability, talent, and also really struggled with, you know, dropping passes, fumbling, things like that in camp. But I don't know, this could be an opportunity for him to also step forward and get more reps. And we mentioned recently, you know, on the show, Chester Rogers is a guy who I have no idea where he is in terms of, you know, his career, his ability to be explosive and all that, but he has done some things in the NFL.
If the Titans get stuffed tonight in the running game by the Bills, are you just going to hammer me all day tomorrow about Corey Davis not being there and blocking in the run game?
That'll probably be all the difference. I won't, only because if that happens, I do think, you know, blasting game some because, you know, blasting game as a lead blocker is good, but especially Mykole Pruitt. Mykole Pruitt is one of those absences that won't be talked about a lot, but I actually think is very important. But, yeah, I'm sure
you will.
It'll be somewhat related to Corey Davis not being there.
And
great blocking receiver.
Going to need, yeah, the best. Going to need another big night, probably, from Steven Goskowski, who has dramatically turned it around from week one. We kind of – that's gotten lost in the shuffle through all the COVID stuff, and we never really talked about it much after the Minnesota game just because, you know, circumstances were different very quickly after that week. But Goskowski has responded in a big way for the Titans after that disaster of a week one against Denver. Going to need him to continue to be consistent tonight against the Bills. When you get those opportunities to score against this offense, going to have to take advantage of them.
There's a guy who probably wishes there weren't 16 days between games.
Absolutely.
You know, with the role he's on. But, yeah, I think you feel good about not having a repeat of last year when Cairo Santos went 0 for 4 in a 14.
Please, no. I can't handle
14-7 loss.
I can't handle another 14-7 game or like a 13-12. I can't do it.
It's not going to happen, man. I like both of these offenses, even with the Titans at receiver, and I know that's a challenge, but I like their offense to find some answers and to get Henry and Jonnu Smith and A.J. Brown situations to make plays, and I don't like the Titans defense on the other side. I mean, with Jeffrey Simmons, they're giving up 166 yards a game on the ground, and yeah. I know the Bills aren't exactly, you know, grinding people up here. But Singletary's pretty good, and Josh Allen is really good at, you know, they use him sometimes with design runs, but also certainly getting outside the pocket and running around. I mean, you got to have guys like, you know, Jayon Brown stepping up with a big game. Rashawn Evans, you know, obviously Clowney. Some of these guys
have got to be a good time for Clowney to step up and make some plays tonight.
This would be. I mean, how little have we talked about him, you know, in the last 2 weeks? But we're back to that. Like, okay. You got to make more plays.
It needs to start happening tonight. I get it. It's been a tough circumstance the last couple of weeks, and he was on the injury report, but it looks like he's going to be okay, ready to go. Need to see some big snaps tonight from Jadeveon Clowney on the defensive side of the ball. When we come back, our good buddy Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will join us. We'll get into the Titans and Bills tonight. Also look around the league as well. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.